Okay, everybody, today's daf is Yavama's daf Tzadi Tes, and we are here at the Mishnah Tzadi Ches Amabez. First glance, a bit of a convoluted case, but as you'll see in a second, not too bad. There's one general claw running through it over here. So it says the Mishnah, Chamesh Nashim Shinis Arvul Vlado Sayan. You have a sad situation, I guess, confusing situation. Things are a little crazy. You have five women who get their kids mixed up, and we don't know whose is whose. And then Higdila Tarovos for Nashim Nashim. From Mesu, and then they grew up, and they got married, and then they died. Now, what happens to their Ibum situations? Well, we didn't say in the Mishnah, but we assume that each one of them also has a brother that we know, right, is the son of the mother. So what's going on over here? If you have five sons who are unclear exactly who their mother is, what mother they come from. So what you do is, basically, as you'll see in a second, each wife, of these five brothers who don't know which mother they belong to, right, each wife is going to get four chalitzas and a yibum. And that way, and we'll go down the line, and that way you'll free each one of them, because b'marashach, either the woman will have been chalitzad or yibumed. And if you could use those in a verb. So let's see. It should be pretty okay. Arba cholzin la'achas ve'echad mi'abim musa. So for one of them, you take the first one. Four of them do chalitza, and one of them does yibim, comes from manashach. If it was his brother's wife, so great, they did yibim. And if it wasn't, so she's had chalitza and she's mutter. Who is shlosha? So that guy who got married and three others cholzin la'achas take another woman and do chalitza, and then bechem yabim, and another guy, another brother does yibim, because again, imanoshach. If it's his brother, great, and if not, right. So then, right, you have the chalitzas of the other one, and she's right, just totally free and able to marry, and right, and you do all that, right? You go down the line and into arba chalitzas yibim lechalachas ve'achas. So you do basically each one of them gets four chalitzas and a yibum, and then the Gemara just points out v'dafka mechlatz v'hadr yavme, and it's important that the chalitzas come first, and then the yibums, right? Aval yivume, right? But reisha lo, you can't do yibum first. Why? Because the paga dikka paga b'yavam l'shuk. Because it could be, right? It could be that this woman is not your brother's wife, and then it's a yivama, right, for somebody else, right? Not allowed to marry a yivama for someone else. Okay, so the Gemara says, "My hu v'shlosha cholzin la'achas." The Gemara says, "Why do we do? Right, why do we insist? Right, that right, we do, four of them do chalitza, one of them does yibum, and then that guy plus three others, right, do more chalitza. Right, why don't we just do four and one down the road? Right, a guy's allowed to marry five wives. Right, so why don't we just do four chalitzas and one yibum? Right, without the same guy marry all five of them." So the Gemara says, we don't want to do that. Why don't we want to do that? Because, fascinating kind of risk-reward analysis over here, that the Gemara says, because maybe each one of them will end up with their own Yavama, right? And then you'll end up with five mitzvah zibon. Ah, you'll tell me, yeah, but each one of them, maybe, right, the odds are that they won't actually end up with their Yavamas, and it's perhaps more likely that, you know, if you have one guy marry all five of them, well, then you're guaranteed one mitzvah, right, of Yibam. But says the Gemara, that apparently we're willing to risk that. We're really willing to risk the fact that none of them may end up doing Yibam for multiple mitzvahs of Yibam, because, you know, it could be you'll have two, you'll have three, it could be you'll nail all five, and all five of them will be doing a mitzvah of Yibam. So we're going to take that risk to hopefully get multiple mitzvahs of Yibam, as opposed to taking the guaranteed one Yibam. All right, if one guy marries all five of them. Okay. Tanur Rabbanan v'lo d'oraisa. Miktsasan achim v'miktsasan... right, the Tanur Rabbanan is just added in the Bach, by the way. Before you wonder where I got that from. So, miktsasan achim v'miktsasan she'en achim. If some of them are brothers, some of them are not brothers. Ha'achim cholzin v'she'en achim v'yabim. So the brothers do chalitza, and the ones who are not brothers do yibam. The Gemara says, my comer, what are you talking about? Brothers... not brothers, do you and chalitza? What's going on over here? Samar of Safra, Halki Kamar. This is what it means to say. Miktsasan achim in av, miktsasan achim in aim. If some of these sons were from the father and some of these sons were from the mother, so then achim in aim cholzin, achim in av miyabim. So the brothers from the mother do chalitza, and the brothers from the father do yibum. Again, the brothers from the mother, right? Yibum goes through the father. So obviously, the brothers from the mother are not going to be a shayach to shayach to that. Let's just go by turn in a second. Hopefully, it'll become a little bit more clear. We have a miktsasin, miktsasin kohanim, miktsasin she'en kohanim. If some of them are kohanim, some of them are not. Kohanim cholzim she'en kohanim miyavnim. The ones that are kohanim do chalitza because they're not allowed to marry a chalitza, right? And she'en kohanim miyavnim, right? The ones who are not kohanim, right? They're the ones who will do yibum, right? Again, just like we said before, because any Yisrael is allowed to marry those women, right? If they are not kohanim. Again, we're talking about in our case of the Mishnah where there are five Suffolk brothers, right? So we're just adding on stipulations here. Miktsasin kohanim, miktsasin achim na'im. What about not a combo case, right? Again, some of them are kohanim, some of them are mothers from the brothers from the mother. So elu ve'elu cholzim elu miyabim, miyabim. Right, nobody does yibum. Right, everybody does chalitza. Again, they're not allowed, again because again, just to clarify again, that a brother from the mother is not allowed to do yibum. Right, that's an iser reish shesach. Right, yibum laws is only through the father. So okay, fine. So in that case, none of them are shayach for yibum. Tamar Rabbanan. Now, basically, tell the Mishnah over here as if Yevamos hadn't gotten difficult enough. We have a bunch of convoluted cases. That will basically, or the Gemara will just, you know, rattle off these almost riddle type cases, then and how you could ever have these situations, and that'll take us to the Mishnah, and then we'll switch gears a little bit, not entirely, but a little bit. Tanu Rabbanan, yesh cholitz le'imo misafek v'la'achosu misafek le'bito misafek. There are certain areas you can build cases where a person would do chalitza to his mother because it might be his mother or it might be his brother's wife. And the same thing with his sister, and the same thing with his daughter. Ketzad, how does that work? So again, each three of these cases is going to be maybe your relative, mother, sister, daughter, or maybe your brother's wife. How does that work? Imo v'isha charez v'lehen shnei zecharim. Your mother and another woman have two kids, two boys. Chazur v'yodah shnei zecharim b'machvei. And then they gave, obviously there are another two kids. Meaning they definitely have those kids we know about, and then there are two more sons, right? That b'machvei and rechmanot son, right? That unfortunately they were hiding, right? Unfortunately, in Jewish history, plenty of examples where that could have been, and we don't know who gave birth to who, right? So then obviously they both die. Uba bina shalzu, v'nasa ima shalzu, and then the first son married the mother of the other guy, meaning the first sons, right? Because that's mutter, right? They're not related whatsoever. Again, there's two women who have two sons, right? And you know, I guess the mother's husbands die, so then the sons married the other women, right? They met the umesu blavanim, and then they died without kids. So now you have a shaykh where both women are falling to yibum to the other kid, right? Who we don't know who's the mother. So zechol is the shteim. So both of them basically will do chalitza, and both of them will do yibum, will do chalitza to their mother, because it could be their mother, or it just could be not their mother, and then in that case it was their brother's wife. L'achosu misafek ketzad, how does it work with his sister? So similarly, imo v'isha acheres she'yod eshtin ekevus b'machvei, you have his mother and another guy's mother. They both had two daughters, and when they were hiding, and then we don't know who's assumes. U'ba'o acheim shalom e'achos osa'ayim v'nasum, and their brother from a different mother, meaning their brother from the father, married those girls, which those women, which is, again, which is mutter. Again, they're not related whatsoever, right? Umesu blow upon him, and then they died, obviously, with our kids. So cholitz l'shneihem, right? Mitzvah cholitz l'achos himself. Again, you can do chalitza in both of those cases because it's either your sister, right? Because you don't know who the mother is exactly, or your brother's wife. Right, and therefore, there's going to be a chalitza situation over there. Levito misafek ketzad, similar by the daughter. Ishto v'isha acheres she'elder shtei nekevus b'machvei. Right, they were hiding again. They had two daughters. Upo acheim v'nasum, and then the brothers of again the paternal brothers, right, married those women. So mesu blo banim, and then they married, died without kids. So again, zechol it's levito misafek. Zechol it's levito misafek. Right, so we don't know. Right, again, it's you're talking about the brothers of the fathers, not the brothers of. The father of these kids, right? So that's already, maybe this daughter is your brother's wife, or maybe she is your daughter, right? So basically, right, that's going to be a case where you do chalitza to your daughter, misafik. Okay, tanya will end in a brisa. Again, we're going to, these kind of riddles over here. Hi, Rabbi Meir, Omer, ish v'isha pamim shamolidin chamesh umos. There, I could give you a case where a guy and a girl can give birth to five, literally means five nations, but we'll see in a second that it it means five different statuses of Jew. Ketzad, how does that work? Yisrael shalakach eved v'shivcha min ashuk. Now, we're not focusing on the Yisrael, I'll focus on the eved and the shivcha, yeah? So the, a Jew buys an eved and a shivcha, an eved kanani, a shivcha kananis, from, you know, from the market. Yeah, so v'lahen shnei banim, they have two boys already, meaning that they're not slaves, but they're two boys, i.e. they're goyim. Right, they're going to shivcha and eved kanani have to be converted is to the status of eved kanani. So they are straight up the kids who are not converted. They are straight up goyim. Then in this guy Echamham, now one of them converts to Judaism, right, to Yiddishkeit. If it's a not to be an eved but to be a Jew, if it's a echad ger v'echad av kochavim. So now you have again. So they have two sons, right? The avodim, the eved kanani, the shivcha kananis. They have two sons from before they got bought, right? One is a goy and one is a ger. One is a Jew. He'd be on the shem avdus, and then right he takes the two slaves. I mean, the Jew takes the two slaves and dips them in the mikvah so they could be slaves. And right, that we kind of assumed already. But if it is kakuzel zena, they have another kid. So reikan ger over kocham ve'eved. Now you have a third. The third kid is a third status, which is an eved, right? Because the kids of an eved and a shivcha, right, is an eved. So shechra is a shivcha. If the Jew then frees the shivcha ubal eved, and then the eved who was they were married to each other beforehand, so then they sleep together and they have another kid. So reikan ger ve'ov kocham ve'eved u'mamzer. Now the fourth kid is a mamzer because, and we're holding here, as you'll see in a second, that the kid of an eved kanani and a regular Jew, right, is a mamzer. Right, we had a discussion. That's not that not everybody holds that, but okay. This is Rabbi Meir telling us. So shichur shnehem. Then he frees the father. Then he frees the eved, which is also the father. Vesiyin zezen. They get married according to obviously Jewish law, right, because now they're technically not related, even though they were quote unquote married when they were slaves. And once they become full fledged Jews, as if they have their relatives, they have to marry again, and then they have a kid. So reikan gerva ukocham veeved mamzer v'yisrael. And then they have a ger. Well, again, a ger is also Yisrael, but okay, a ger, and eved kochavim, right, a goy, the eved, the mamzer, and the Jew. So the Gemara says, man k'mash malan, what's the, again, in a chanami, all of these halachos are not necessarily new. So as we mentioned before, eved kochavim ve'eved abal bas Yisrael avla mamzer, right, the shita here, that an eved and a Jew and a woman, a Jewish woman, a kriya, have a kid, right, that is a mamzer, right, that is a machokas that we saw before, that's what we're holding, that's what Rabbi Meir is teaching us over here. There could be a case where a guy could sell his father in order to pay off his the ksuba, right, for his mother, right, which is very strange. Right, again, obviously ksuba is something that goes to the mother when the father or the father either dies or divorces her, and obviously this is a case of divorce because you're not going to sell the father to pay off the ksuba if he's dead. That's not, we're not talking about selling bones over here. So anyways, Ketzad, how does that work? So Yisrael lakach eved v'shivcha min ashuk. Again, don't focus on the Jew. Focus on this eved and the shivcha. You have an eved kanani, shivcha kanani. V'lahem ben, and they have a kid again also who is a guy. V'shichar es a shivcha. Now the woman, the slave, the shivcha becomes a Jew. Right, v'nasa, and then the Jew marries the shivcha kananis. V'amad v'kasav kol nechasa l'bna, and he writes that all of the things he owns, right, go to the son, meaning that everything, right, go. I mean, he's a guy, but still, again, you could write that all of the possessions of this couple go to the son that she already had, that is a guy, right, and now he dies. So now the woman is the shivcha who is freed now wants a ksuva from her husband. But what happens is that one of the things that they owned was her previous husband, i.e. the guy's father. So now the guy has to sell his father. He has to sell his father, not because his father divorced or died. Right? It has nothing to do with anything, right? That they were not halakhically married because we're talking about a guy. Right, we want his mother to collect the ksuba from another man, right? So he has to sell his father in order to pay off the ksuba. So Gemara says again, also my kamash malan, what's a chiddush? So Gemara says, kuler Mary, this from Mary Shita, for avda metaltalin, metaltalin mishadik l'ksubasa, right? A chiddush that metaltalin can be shayach to pay off a ksuba. Usually a ksuba is karka. We'll do that in Mesachus Ksubas, obviously coming up in a couple of weeks, but usually a ksuba is through karka, is through not metalzman. Vibai same or you could say the hakamashmalan, as I said before, as we just alluded to, avada the makarka dummy, that a slave is like karka, is not like metalzman, but a slave is actually like karka. Okay, so you could learn that both ways. But anyway, that's the answer to that interesting riddle. Okay, another case of confusing kids. And honestly, most of this Mishnah is actually not discussed in the Gemara. The Gemara will have a couple of quick comments, and then I'll jump to the case by Kohanim, as we have at the end. But, okay, either way. Ha'ishan is Arva Vlad Bavlad Kalasa. A woman has a boy, and it gets mixed up with her daughter-in-law, meaning her son's kid. Right, again, it's not crazy that people, when they got married young, right, a girl gets married at 15. It's not crazy for her to be having a kid at the same time when her son is also having a kid. It happens nowadays, also obviously more rare, more uncommon, but less common. But it definitely could happen. Definitely, you have stories where kids are 18, 20 years apart, and sure enough, the uncle and the nephew are basically the same age. Okay, either way. So that's what happened. And the woman is, we're not sure if it's the woman's kid or the daughter-in-law's kid. So what happens? Right, when they grow up and they get married, and then obviously they die, because that's how everything works in Yevamos. The daughter, the sons of the daughter-in-law, right, so they do chalitza and not yibam. Because the two possibilities here are there. It's either his brother's wife or his father's brother's wife, right? Uncle's wife, and that is Aser, and right? That's one of the Arayos. B'nei has a kena. B'nei has a kena ol chutz ol mi'amim, but the son of the grandmother, meaning the son of the mother, the first woman, they can do either chalitza or yivam, because you have the suffering. The choice there is much better. Suffering eishes achiv, eishes ben achiv. Right? It's either the eishes achiv, which is your brother's wife, which is yivam. That's fine. Or it's your brother's son's wife, which is actually mutter, which is that's not one of the erevos. Okay, mesu ksherim. Now, if the ksherim died, now we'll have to talk about exactly what that means. So taroves. So meaning pashuses, we're assuming the ones that we know are related to who, right? We don't know. It's not the suffix. Now it's the vadai. Sons. So then, what do the suffix sons do? Taroves lefne azakena chodzim lo miyabim. Right, the sons of the grandmother do chalitza and not yibam, because the two options are shu suffik eishes achiv, right, or veishes achiyav, because again you have the suffik is either his brother's wife or his father's brother's wife, which is also lufnei akala. But the sons of the kala, so echad cholitz veechad miyabim, when one of them is chalitza and one of them does yibam, because again obviously you want because we're going to remove the possibility that it was the uncle's wife, which is Aser, but once you do chalitza, meaning mimadu shachri, either the woman is free, right, or it's a proper yibum, meaning or if he did chalitza with the uncle's wife, that's fine, meaning after you do chalitza, right, so the woman you're left with is either give me a second. these cases are a little bit topsy-turvy over here. The first brother will do chalitza, because if he was... Right, the uncle, right, he's the father's brother, which is Aser, and the second one, right, is going to be doing Yibum, and that's fine. And if the first one was the Yavam, he already did Chalitza, and then the woman is Mutzul Lashon. Okay, I think that's how it works. Fine. Now, Kohenis, this is pretty much most of the Amud Beis will deal with this. What about a Kohenis? Shinis Ariv Vlada Bavla Shifchasa. If the Kohen, a Kohen's wife, has their kid and it gets mixed up with a kid of a Shifcha, so the kid is either a Kohen or an Eved, right? Elu Ochlam Etshuma, so they can both eat Shuma, right? So both those kids can, because either Mimadushach, an Eved is allowed to eat Shuma, because an Eved of a Kohen is allowed to eat Shuma, V'chokin Chelek Echem Minagorin, but they only get one portion of Truma at the threshing floor, right, where they pick up Truma. Because, right, it's one portion, it's not two. If any metamin in the mace, and they can't become metamin mace. If any knows him nashim, and they can't get married because they're stuck. Because, right, either, if it's a kohen, he can marry whoever. If it's an eved, though, he can't marry anybody. Right, a kohen's not allowed to be apostle. Right, the bein kshiras, bein psulos, right, the kohen can't marry apostle, and an eved can't marry kosher. So they're basically stuck with marriage. Hedilu ta'arov is v'shichruru zeretzeh. Let's say they grew up and then they freed each other, meaning that they made sure that whoever was, you know, they did two freeing of the slaves to make sure, right, that whichever one it was got freed. So now you're dealing with a Kohen and the Yisrael. Then no Sinushin rulers the Kuhuna. They can marry any woman who's Shaykh for Kuhuna. Again, he's obviously, once you get rid of a slave, he's a Yisrael, so that's fine. I mean, worst case scenario, they're a Kohen, and that works. They still can't be Tamei Mace because maybe they're a Kohen. And if they became Tameis, ain't Sofik and Arbaim, you don't give them Malkus because it's not a Vadai Isser. They can't have Shuma because, you know, maybe they're not. Maybe they're Yisrael. And if they did eat Shuma, so you can't make them pay, right, the extra, right, the what they paid back plus the 1/5, which is really 1/4. They don't get truma at the threshing floor. You'll see in a second why that is. Umochin is a truma of adam shalahem, but they could sell the truma and the money that they of adam shalahem. Meaning, and they could sell the truma and he can keep the money because they can't eat it, but they can sell it to Kohanim. They can benefit from it. They don't get any gift from Beis HaMikdash. That's Rashi says the skins of the Korban Ola. Because again, you can't prove that he's a Kohen. They don't get Kachim. They don't get Kachim. Excuse me, but we don't take out anything from their hands, meaning the concept in Dini Mamnos. If you want to take some money away from somebody else, you got to prove that the halacha is like you. So if you can't prove this guy's a kohen, so if he, for whatever reason, takes, let's say, skins of an ola, right, you can't prove that he has to give them back because you can't prove that he's a kohen. So that's so in that case, we don't emotzi mishalahem midehem. You don't take out monetary possessions from them based on this. Upturim in Israel milchaim in a keva. They don't have to give those gifts, right, to a kohen when they bring a korban, because maybe they're shaykh to themselves, or it's so right, maybe because again kohanim don't give those gifts, and maybe he's a kohen, right? Ubechoro, and his, what about his bechor, right? Bechor, right, kohen either gets to use, or if it gets a mum, so then anybody can eat it. So that's what they do. Yehi rov ad sheyistayev, you let it get a mum, so then anybody can eat it, because maybe he's a yisrael, maybe he's a kohen. But knows that Allah chumra kohanim chumra yistayelim, and you have to have the chumras of both, and we'll see that. We'll talk about what that means tomorrow. So let's just take the first. The Gemara has a couple of quick hitters on the beginning of the Mishnah. Then we'll talk about this last situation we just talked about. Mesuk Sherim, if the Vadai sons died, and we had all that stuff. The Gemara says Elohach Mishumti is Aruv Lehu Havu Lehu Psulim. What do you mean Sherim versus Psulim? Right, just because they got mixed up doesn't mean they're possible. Right, their lineage isn't possible. Right, they're still Jews. Right, so let's just change it to say that the ones who we know, right, their yichus, right, died out. So the vnei akala echad chalitz. Again, we said so davka michlatz v'hadu yavme. And again, as we said before, you have to do chalitza first, right, in all those cases, and then yibam aval yivum and bereish. Although you can't do yibam first because because again, maybe that woman won't be your Yivama. Okay, now Kohenes Shinizarev, right, this whole last case. Chelek Echad Pshita. Now the Mishnah said that in both of these cases, this guy is either an Evid or a Kohen, right, in the first case, right, before he got freed, this guy, right, they have two guys, one is an Evid, one is a Kohen, those are the two options, but either of them get to eat truma, but you only give one portion to the two of them. So the Sikkimar says, obviously, right, we only have one coin here. We don't know who it is, but they only should take one chelek of truma. Sikkimar says, chelek, im chelek ke'echa. No, what it means is they both have to show up. They both have to come together, and then they can take truma. Tanan, commander Amar, ein chok on truma le'eved, ela imkin rabo imo. So apparently, this is according to the one who holds that you only give truma to an eved right? Again, an eved gets truma, but you only give him truma if his master, if his rabbo, if the kohen who owns him is there. The Tanakh, because we learned it in Baisa, right? In chokan truma leved elam rabbo imo, right? The Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda shita. Rabbi Yossi Omar, Rabbi Yossi says, Yachos sheyomar im kohen ani tznuli bishvil atzmi v'em eved kohen ani tznuli bishvil rabbi. Rabbi Yossi disagrees and says, no, you can give truma to an eved. Therefore, the guy can say, listen, give me my portion, because if I'm a Kohen, great. If I'm not a Kohen, so then give it to me for my master. So the Gemara says, Bimkomo shel Rabbi Yehuda, hayu malen mitruma liyuchsin. Bimkomo shel Rabbi Yossi, lo hayu malen mitruma liyuchsin. That according to Rabbi Yehuda, in Rabbi Yehuda's place where he lived, so they would basically use this as a way to say that someone is a definite Kohen. Meaning, if you're giving truma to so one guy, right, since Rabbi Yehuda says you can't give truma to an Eved, so anybody collecting truma is going to be a Kohen. So if someone comes to the basin and says, I saw that guy collecting truma, we can establish the Yuchsin, we can establish that that guy is definitely a Kohen. But in Rabbi Yossi, where they would give a truma to Avadim as well, so then you could not necessarily assume and set up that this guy was a Kohen from the fact that, simply from the fact that he came and got truma by himself. Tanya Milan Rabbeza, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadok, Miyamai lo yati ela edus echad, vehelu eva lukuna alpi. I only give one edus about Yuchsin Pashtas, right? And then and what happened was one Eved became a Kohen because of what I said. And Gemara said, "Helu sakotaytech? Really, is that what happened?" Hashtu behetan shal tzadikim in a kosh baruch hu maybe takala yadam tzadikim asma lo kosh again. What do you mean? There's a story about Rashi brings about Pinchas ben Yair. His donkey would never work on Shabbos, right? That's about his donkey eating truma tevel that had not been separated. But anyway, we see a lot of examples about Kosh Baruch Hu wouldn't even allow the animals of tzaddikim to violate Yisurim, to accidentally violate Yisurim. And here you're going to tell me that based on this guy's tzaddik, Rabbi Lez ben Tzadok's testimony, since he was a great tzaddik, he caused this big mix-up that to make a whole family of Advadim into Kohanim. The Gemara says, no, impossible. Ela im a big shulalos. Ever the kun alpi. Really, they tried to. They almost did. What happened? Because chazav asri derbi yosi, but also asri basri derbi yehuda. Right? He saw a guy getting truma right in Rabbi Yossi's town, and there they give truma to either kohanim or avadim. And then he gave edus about that. He testified about that in Rabbi Yehuda's neighborhood. And so they said, oh, this guy is getting truma. Great. He must be a kohen. And then they realized, oh, I saw that in Rabbi Yossi's neighborhood. Ah, so maybe he's not a kohen. So maybe they almost made him a kohen, but he really, really, really wasn't. Okay, Tanur Rabbanan was going to go on to something else, and we will go weiter in the Hevi Shas tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on when you are listening to this.